DiscerningHearts.com presents Building the Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, and seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We join Monsignor John Essef discussing the fourth Sunday of Easter and the gospel passage concerning the Good Shepherd.
In these Sundays after Easter, which are so important, it's called mystagoga, when we begin to experience that we are in union with Jesus Christ, both those who have been received into the church, where they begin to flex their spiritual muscles, and begin to see with the eyes of Jesus, and hear with the ears of Jesus, and love with the heart of Jesus. And those who have been in the church are continuing to grow in their union with Christ and Trinitarian love. So that all of these readings are meant to teach us after the resurrection that the apostles in that first history of the church in the reading they're going over in the Acts of the Apostles, so that the first reading in our fourth Sunday of Easter, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke, "Leaders of the people, elders, if we must answer today for a good deed done to a cripple and explain how he was restored to health, that you and all the people of Israel must realize that it was done in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead." Now, we're going to be yin-yanging back to the Gospels, where post-resurrection and whatever is happening in the period of the public life of the Gospels, Peter is in no way this kind of character. That Jesus is talking to these 12 men, one of whom will betray him, and the others will abandon him, and Peter will deny him, that these weak men are now transformed into Jesus Christ. What these post-Pentecostal people who have been baptized and received the baptism so that the church now is in operation, that the power that Jesus had in the gospel, the life that Jesus led in the gospel, suffering, death, and resurrection, are now being lived by the apostles. Peter is healing in the name of Jesus. "I do this in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified and who rose from the dead." Now, this Jesus continues to operate through us and with us. And these readings are going to show in the post-Pentecost period through the Acts of the Apostles. They're going to raise the dead. That's what Peter's going to do. That's what Jesus did. They're going to preach fearlessly. That's what Jesus did. And that's what the apostles are going to do. And they're going to be killed, just like Jesus. So the church is Christ in the world in the first century, which is the Acts of the Apostles. That's what the church is, from the moment of baptism. Now you, 2012, as you hear this, you take inspiration to preach, to heal, to drive out demons, to suffer and to continue preaching in the face of suffering. All of these readings are meant. This Jesus is the stone rejected by the builders that has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other means in the whole world given to men by which we are to be saved. So the leader of the church, the Pope, bishops of the church, which are the apostles, the people of the church, the deacons, Stephen, all of these people are going to come forward and are going to pronounce and proclaim the life, the suffering, and the death of Jesus Christ. So this period after the resurrection and these Sundays are meant to teach us, to fortify us, to encourage us to live the life of Jesus. The responsorial, the stone rejected by the builder has become the cornerstone. And Psalm 118 is prayed there. We go through that responsorial psalm, you know, thinking of how it was the stone rejected that now has now become the principal cornerstone. And that's the role. If we find ourselves rejected in our day, and how powerful it is for all of us who apparently seem to be rejected as we live our lives for Christ in this day. But John again, and how powerful it is in his letter, that whole first letter of St. John, is what is the witness that the apostles gave? And what is the witness that Jesus gives in the face of rejection? Love. Love those who reject you. Pray for those who persecute you. The measure with which you love will be the sign that you are the Son of God. See what love the Father has bestowed on us in letting us be called children of God. Yet that is what we are. The reason the world does not recognize us is that it never recognized the Son. Dearly beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall become later, He has not yet come to light. We know that when it comes to light, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What is the state of life in this post-resurrection Pentecost period for us, 2012? We have not yet died and gone to heaven. We have been baptized, confirmed, ordained. I am Christ in the world. I see. I am a son of God. I see with eyes of Jesus. I hear. I have not yet seen Him face to face, but that is what we are. We are God's children. We are Jesus in the world today, suffering, dying, and rising, just as He was, and that will come to light. This particular fourth Sunday is Good Shepherd Sunday. I think just to read a few phrases that is so important, which is such good news. This is the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and it's Jesus who is the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. The hireling, who is no shepherd, nor owner of the sheep, catches sight of the wolf coming and runs away, leaving the sheep to be snatched and scattered by the wolf. That is because he works for pay. He has no concern for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. What is the relationship of the true disciple? It's love and it's relationship. It isn't a role the shepherd plays. If you are a priest, if you are a father of a family, a mother, a guardian, of God's children, a teacher. You are a shepherd. Every person listening, no matter what your age is, has little lambs and sheep to care for. And the relationship that you have with them is His. I am willing to lay down my life for my sheep. And in these times of darkness, in these times of great confusion in the world, how do you tell a shepherd from a hireling? A hireling will leave the flock unattended. And so, haven't you found those who, and Jesus has it very clearly here, work for pay? It's the politician who works for pay. The teacher who simply is drawn by the salary. The nurse who is simply drawn by the money and has no concern for her patients. The doctor, the priest. What is the relationship between Jesus and the sheep? Great thing about sheep, it's the one animal that has so little defense and really has nothing more than can be gathered into a flock. They herd. Sheep come together. And when I see young people who are being herded into these horrible dance halls and these horrible movies and pornography, these little lambs who are being so surrounded with the wickedness of what's around them, how they need teachers, guardians, protectors, the kind of lambs who are now being slaughtered, the unborn, the kind of little lambs who are the elderly, who are now being euthanized. This is really a dark, dark time. The doctors who call themselves mercy killers, to kill in the name of mercy, who have no understanding at all of the suffering of their patients and people. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. When, you know, it's difficult for a society that is so industrialized and urban to know what the rural life of a shepherd and his sheep are like. But every true shepherd, no matter how many sheep get intermingled with the other of a different flock and another shepherd, the voice of the shepherd, it's amazing. Even though they kind of all get together and they are taken to places where there's green pasture, the shepherd calls his sheep by name, and they actually come out of the flock, each one of them. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. The voice of the good shepherd is always calling his sheep. You so many times have heard through the gentleness and the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God calling you, bringing you back to grace, bringing you back from the desert where there is no real healing, pasture land, where you've been really chewing and eating on the garbage instead of the rich pastures that Jesus wants to bring you to. The actual food, too, of how many that he wants to offer you this particular Sunday. My own flesh, come and eat. My own blood, come and drink. Eat of me, take and eat. This is my body. This is my blood. So close do I want to be in intimacy to my sheep that I want to give them myself. I am the good shepherd. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The Father loves me for this, that I lay down my life for my sheep, and I take it up again. Jesus dies for you. Jesus rises for you. The drawing that he has. You might have been away from the sacraments for 20 years. You're 40 years old. Your son is now going to be making his first communion. You've given your career so much time. You may have had here and there an adulterous affair, and your sin is on your heart and taking you into coldness, dark places, unhappy places for you, drinking too much after work. I am your food, your drink. And when your son is going to communion this May, Daddy, why don't you come to Mass with Mom and I? That gentle voice that comes through your son, the gentle voice while you're driving in your car, and how happy I was when I took more time to pray, and how confused I am right now. That inmost voice, gentle whispering, the Holy Spirit inviting you back. I am the Good Shepherd. I call to my sheep. My sheep know me, and I know them, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have power to lay down my life and to take it up again. This is the command that I received from my Father. God the Father has sent Jesus to be your shepherd, and he's in our midst this fourth Sunday of Easter. Come. Come to me. I have laid down my life for you. I want you so much that I want to become one with you. I want to be in you so that it won't be just your son that leads you to me. It will be you that leads your children to me. That's the way I have it arranged. I want to be so one with you that through you, your children will come, because I want to make you father of a family, teacher of children, coach of the year, a good shepherd with me. I want you, priest of God, to be one with me. You are my shepherd. I want to be one with you, so deeply in you that they won't know the difference between me and you this Sunday. Greater love than this, no one has, than to lay down his life for a sheep. When Jesus revealed the Sacred Heart on the cross when it was pierced with a lance, when he revealed it to Margaret Mary, there above his burning, flaming heart was the crucifix, the sign of that infinite love of the Good Shepherd. And so as I make this sign over you in this Sunday preparation, I ask you to make it over yourself with reverence, the cross, that I, like you, Jesus, and in your name, will lay down my life for my sheep. Take a moment and think of those members of your flock that you love so much. And then, in his name, that you want to be that good shepherd that reaches out to them. Priest, parent, teacher, physician, nurse, auto mechanic, all of us were called to be shepherds to our flock. May Almighty God bless you. in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We now join Monsignor John Nesif offering with St. Padre Pio a prayer for healing.
Come into the presence of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come into the presence of God's Son, only begotten Son, who became flesh like ours. Close your eyes. Open your heart with all the wounds and needs in your heart as you come for healing. But especially see Jesus. Jesus has sent his image in our time, the crucified body and person of Padre Pio. Jesus so went into this man in our time. He wanted to give us an image of his crucified body. And so when you come to St. Pio with your needs, your cares, your wounds, your own sufferings, your own desire for healing, see yourself standing before Padre Pio. Beloved Padre Pio, today I come to add my prayers to the thousands of prayers that are being offered to you every day by people who love you and venerate you throughout the whole world. They ask for cures. They ask for healing. They ask for earthly and spiritual blessings. They ask for peace. They ask for needs of body and mind. And because of your friendship with the Lord, because of your unity with the crucified Jesus, he heals us through you. And so we ask today for healing and forgiveness. Padre Pio, through the visible wounds of the cross, which you did bear for 50 years, you were chosen in our time to glorify the crucified Jesus. Because the cross has been replaced by so many other symbols, please help us to bring it back in our midst, in our time, for we acknowledge it as the only true sign of salvation, Jesus crucified, as we lovingly recall the wounds that pierced the hands, the feet, and the side of Jesus. We not only remember the blood that was shed in pain, but the smile and the joy and the invisible halo of sweet-smelling flowers that surround you, the perfume of sanctity. In your kindness, please help me with my own special requests. Pause now, each one. Have time to make your requests. And as you make them to St. Pio, make the sign of the cross. Bless me and my loved ones, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer to St. Pio. O God, you did give St. Pio of Pietrasilina Capuchin priest the great privilege of participating in a unique way in the passion of your Son Jesus. Grant me, through his intercession, the grace which I ardently desire, and above all, grant me the grace of living in conformity with the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, to arrive in the glory of the resurrection. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff.